How's it going, everybody? Welcome to That Time of the Week. I am your host, Matthew Morgan, and today we are going to be talking about, I guess politics broadly, but I got two stories, and then I just wanted to go over the 14-point plan. As of this year, the U.S. has more than 2,100 now. I think it's 2,106 last time I looked. But more than 2,000 confirmed measles cases so far this year. Last year, we had a total of 2,228. So, you know, this year we are on track to have the worst year decades due to, the fact that RFK is in charge of the health department. RFK got the whole anti-vax thing. He got the whole Tylenol and causes autism. He's got vaccines cause autism. He's got a whole spiel on vaccines and whatnot. His slogan is "Make America Healthy Again," but I think he's definitely done pretty good and well. The opposite, he's working on the opposite of that. He flipped the food pyramid. I don't know if you guys heard about that, but he said, "Hey, I'm paraphrasing, but I promise you, this was pretty much the press conference." He said, "Hey, we're gonna show you the food pyramid," and then he's like, "Many of you might be like, hey, that's upside down." And he was like, "No, it was upside down before. This is the right way to have it." Like, it's like, I don't even know what to say about RFK and what he's been doing. But I think the fact that the measles outbreaks have gone up are certainly point to something. He replaced the entire vaccine panel towards the beginning of his term. I know they made a whole bunch of rule changes. It's different now. RFK is just a different kind of person. So there's that. But measles we're gonna hit, if it continues on track, probably pretty close to 4,000 this year. Almost double of last year. We're only, halfway through June. I guess over halfway now, but similar. Lesser stories is something I thought was funny. Donald Trump, not necessarily funny, just kind of dumb. But Donald Trump said that the Italian Prime Minister, Giorgia Meloni, begged him for a picture. And then she said to in an interview that, "I can only say that it is a shame that he doesn't show the same resolve towards the enemies of the West, towards the enemies of the United States, toward leaders with whom he, on the other hand, is much more accommodating. But there's one thing he must remember. Italy and I do not beg." Good on her. I think that's a good statement. I second what she said about Trump, at least, the part about him shooting himself in the foot with our allies. Not too long ago, he went to the UN meeting and told them that their countries were basically third world countries. I don't know why. He breaks his own foreign policy. During the war with Iran, sanctions. He put sanctions on Russian oil during I don't know if it was before or during the war, but he put sanctions on the oil. And then gas prices were going up in the United States, so he had to suspend the sanctions to lower gas prices here, despite actively helping Ukraine fight their war also. He does that. He told Taiwan not to go independent at one point, after meeting with Xi Jinping in China. I'd assume to help to get China's help in ending the war. I think Donald Trump's just got very weak foreign diplomacy. I mean, it's just awful. This is yeah. Foreign policy terrible. So, yeah, I don't know what else to say about that there. But now, the 14-point plan. Now, this in theory could take the rest of the show. The 14-point plan, you know, is 14 points. So it's rather big. As far as, I mean, now I can't find the one I had up before. This is not it. Man, I had it pulled up and everything. But yeah, so the 14 point plan. Yeah. But anyways, I do know, I mean, obviously there were the things like the $300 billion with that was, you know, supposed to be paid for by whoever. So yeah. Okay. Below is the official text in full. I mean, I don't know. I don't know. I do think it's awfully suspicious that it was read by an administration official, but, you know, there's that. So, here's point one. The United States of America and the Islamic Republic of Iran and their allies in the current war are signing this MOU, the, Memorandum of Understanding, to declare the immediate and permanent termination of military operations on all fronts, including in Lebanon, and undertake from now on to not initiate any war or any military operation against each other, and to refrain from the threat or use of force against each other, and ensuring the territorial integrity and sovereignty of Lebanon. The final deal will confirm the permanent termination of the war on all fronts, including in Lebanon, and other provisions of this paragraph. So, you know, the first line just kind of outlines that that the war is going to be over and that they have to stop bombing Lebanon, and that Lebanon, you know, it has the right to sovereignty and territorial integrity. Sure. I mean, I guess that's fine. The United States of America and the Islamic Republic of Iran undertake to respect each other's sovereignty and territorial integrity and to refrain from interfering in each other's internal affairs. I don't think that's going to happen. I mean, you know, not at least overtly, but I'm sure there's going to be some covert activity as it goes. So, there's that. Basically, just, you know, they're going to not harm each other either. The third point. The first ones are kind of slow, so, you know, or kind of fast, I guess, but the United States of America and the Islamic Republic of Iran commit to negotiating and achieving the final deal in maximum 60 days, extendable with mutual consent. So they could extend this indefinitely, but like I said, it is supposed to be, in theory, a two-part deal. So there's that. Within 60 days, hopefully, there should be a second deal. That's the game plan. Four, immediately upon the signing of this MOU, the United States will begin the removal of its naval blockade and any disturbances or impediments against the Islamic Republic of Iran, and will fully end the naval blockade within 30 days. During this period, the traffic of vessels will be in proportion to the numbers of pre-war traffic being restored by the Islamic Republic of Iran. It's mouthy and full of words, yeah, but, you know. And also, the United States will take America further undertakes to remove its forces from the proximity of the Islamic Republic of Iran within 30 days after the final deal. So, again, just withdraw troops. Here's the one about the opening of the strait. So, upon the signing of, a memorandum of understanding, the Islamic Republic, Iran, will make arrangements using its best efforts for safe passage of commercial vessels with no charge. And then there is comma for 60 days only, comma, from the Persian Gulf to the Sea of Oman and vice versa. The traffic of commercial vessels will immediately start, and considering the need for removing the technical military obstacles and demining by the Islamic Republic of Iran will be instated within 30 days of, the Islamic Republic of Iran will conduct dialogue with the Sultanate of Oman to define the future administration of maritime services in the Strait of Hormuz in discussion with other Persian Gulf littoral states in line with the applicable international law and sovereign rights of the coastal states of the Strait of Hormuz. Mouthy, like I said. Big long things. Should have paraphrased all these first. You know, I didn't realize how big all these were. But, anyways, so the Strait of Hormuz will be open, and there will be no charge for 60 days. After 60 days, they're going to be charging people. And then, you know, I guess there's going to be removal of military, of military and technological obstacles. This is the one about the money. I already read this one that, you know, $300 billion for reconstruction to Iran, and that it'll be finalized after 60 days. All required license waivers and permissions needed for the relevant financial transactions will be granted by... Yeah, so we're going to grant all the transactions as in, all the required license waivers and permissions. So, I guess for foreign investment, I guess. I don't know anything about foreign investment, really. But yeah, so apparently it's supposed to be regional partners. The United States tax dollars are supposedly not supposed to be paying for it. Should this not happen, then I guess the administration lied, and I mean, I don't know what to tell you. This is the information that everybody got, so you take it with what you will. By the way, if you have anything you'd like to add, you can feel free to cut me off of reading this absurdly long list. At 740-383-9944, we could talk about anything. Doesn't even have to be this. We could talk about the dumpster gate. We could talk about the gubernatorial election. We could talk about, you know, kids, moving back in with you. We could talk about whatever you want to do. So there's that. This is number 7 is the removal of sanctions, including the Security Council resolutions. I don't know what the IAEA is, but I'm pretty sure that's for nuclear energy. Monitoring systems, and all unilateral U.S. sanctions, in an agreed-upon schedule as part of the final deal. So, again, I mean, apparently none of this is supposed to happen until a second deal is signed, so, you know, we'll see how long it takes to sign a second deal. Number 8... The Islamic Republic of Iran reaffirmed that it shall not procure or develop nuclear weapons. The United States of America and the Islamic Republic of Iran have agreed to resolve the disposition of stockpiled enriched material pursuant to a mechanism that will be mutually agreed upon in accordance with the schedule mentioned in paragraph 7, with the minimum methodology to be blended on site under the supervision of the IAEA. The two parties also agreed to discuss the issue of enrichment and other mutually agreed matters related to the Islamic Republic of Iran's nuclear needs. Sorry, I had to sneeze. I don't know where I was. Based on satisfactory framework being agreed upon in the final deal. The final deal will confirm the provisions of this paragraph, yada, yada, yada. So, you know. However the final deal falls out will determine what the state of the nukes fall out to be. But yes, so according to this, Iran has reaffirmed that it will not procure any nuclear weapons. So there's that. But also, like I said, the mechanism for whatever they're going to do with the enriched uranium is supposed to happen after the 60 days. Possibly 120, because it can be extended, you know, mutually agreed upon extension. That was the first point. Pending the final deal, the United States of America and Iran agree to maintain the status quo. Iran will maintain the current status quo of its nuclear program, and the United States will not... What? I feel like 8 and 9 just cancel each other out. 8 says that they will not develop nuclear weapons... Number 9 says that they will maintain the status quo. Is that, like, the status quo being, like, the same deal that Barack Obama made, or the status quo being, like, they're making nukes? Okay. The Islamic Republic will, Iran will maintain the current status quo of its nuclear program, and the United States of America will not impose any new sanctions and will not deploy additional forces in the region. So, yeah, no, that's rough. That one's rough. So, I don't know exactly what they mean by keeping the status quo, because, like I said, I feel like 8 and 9 contradict each other. So, I don't know. But we're not allowed to deploy any forces in the region either, so I don't know exactly what the region is. That's like the UAE, Saudi Arabia, Israel. You know, I don't know what exactly counts as the region, but there's that. And we can't impose any new sanctions, which, I mean, you know, doesn't surprise me, I guess. The United States of America undertakes that, immediately upon the signing, so this has already happened, apparently, the termination of sanctions, U.S. Department of Treasury will issue waivers for the export of Iranian crude oil, petroleum products, and, products and derivatives, and all associated services included, including banking, transaction, insurances, transportation, etc. So, you know, after we sign this deal, there is no, I guess, there's just no sanctions. So, at least on for us, Iran can trade pretty good and well freely. So there's that. We're almost done. We got, 3 more to read here. Again, you can feel free to cut me off. 740-383-9944. Alright. So, number 11? Yeah. The United States is going to, unfreeze the funds for Iran, and there will be, again, mutually agreed upon procedures, at the end of the negotiations. Such funds, whether retained in the original account or transferred, shall be made fully usable for payment to any ultimate beneficiary designated by the Central Bank of Iran. And we will also issue all the necessary license and authorizations accordingly. So, you know, just the authorization of the unfreezing of Iran's money. Yeah, so 12. America and Iran have agreed that an executive mechanism will be established to monitor the successful implementation of the and future compliance of the final deal. So I guess they're going to create some body to ensure this happens. After signing this Memorandum of Understanding and subject to the beginning of implementations of paragraphs 1, 4, 5, 10, and 11 of this MOU and the continuing implementation of these measures, the United States of America and Iran will start negotiations regarding the final deal exclusively on the other paragraphs. The final deal will be endorsed by a binding UNSC resolution. So they only started negotiations on 1, 4, 5, and 10. 1 says that they can, again, this is all according to what was read off by the Trump administration. 1 is the ceasefire, obviously, like, you know, the continued ceasefire. 4 is the removal of the naval blockade. 5, one second. The Strait of Hormuz opening. 10 being the removal of sanctions. 11 being the unfreezing of funds. So everything else after that will be, everything other than those things will be negotiated in the final deal. So again, I don't really know what the Whoa. I don't know. I mean, there's a thing that says, earlier Wednesday, before the text was officially released, CNN published a copy obtained from a U.S. official. A diplomat who saw it at the G7 summit in France this week confirmed its contents, as did two other diplomatic sources with knowledge of negotiations. Given the secrecy of both Iran and the U.S., it's unclear whether it should be shared, whether the draft text shared with CNN would reflect the exact wording of the final document due to be signed in person on Friday in Switzerland. And White House spokesperson said Wednesday morning that the text did not reflect the actual memorandum. So, I think this is not the same thing, because this one is from... I don't even know. It's from 2 days ago. This is from Wednesday. So I'm confused. Because at the bottom here it says that, you know, that there were three people who confirmed it, but also we were told that it's, this is also a White House spokesperson, so that it did not reflect the actual memorandum. So I don't know. I don't know. Below is the original draft obtained by CNN, so I'm not going to read all of this one, but I want to see what the whole thing is with the money on this one. Even the thing on this one, the original, the United States undertakes together with the regional partners to create a comprehensive plan agreed upon by both parties for the rehabilitation and economic development of Iran, while ensuring financing of at least $300 billion, and the implementation of this plan will be within 60 days. I don't know what changed. I'm not reading the whole second thing, but So I guess the one up top is the second one, the official text in full, and the bottom one is the one that they posted first. So the first one I read, the one I actually read was, I guess, the one that they're going with. So I would hope that we are not being lied to by both the administration and Iran. I guess at the end of the day, if you are, I don't really know what you do about that. I mean, you know, you got two countries of the world lying to you. I mean, I don't, you know, they had to work together to lie to you, so that's always good, I guess. They had to work together to do something. I don't know. I don't think that it was... I really don't know what they thought was going to happen. I mean, Obama said in an interview that any deal that we got out of this war was going to be just as good, if not worse, than the deal that was already in place. And it's worse. Now, I don't know, you know, I don't know what Iran's going to do with the money, but they will get $300 billion from somewhere. Hopefully, as it reads, it will be somewhere like, you know, private funding, which apparently is what is being claimed. I don't know. I guess the best bet I have to hope that this is true is because that, like I said, Iran has been calling Trump a liar throughout this entire thing, and I think it would do Iran good to tell Trump that that he's lying and that we are going to pay $300 billion of taxpayer dollars for the sheer fact that it'll just make him look even... it'll just make it look like we lost even more. You know, I mean, I guess. I don't know how to... I mean, before paying you to stop attacking, then, you know... But, I don't know. We certainly didn't win the war. You know, we bombed them a lot, but bombs aren't very effective. They do a lot of destroying, but bombs aren't people, unfortunately. Well, you know, fortunately, I guess bombs aren't people. But, not supporting the deployment of troops here, but I don't think it's possible to win a war with bombs. You gotta have people. And you gotta hold ground. And that's why it's kind of pointless. Because to replace a foreign leader, you have to, like, prop up a government. I mean, we've done it before, and it's just not really worth it. And I don't know. Like I said, I mean, as far as the peace plan goes, at least, I would hope that we're not being lied to, and that at least, you know, it's hopefully it's at least paraphrased, you know. So there's that. Well, I mean, I guess that's the 14 points over. If you have anything you'd like to say about that, call in 740-383-9944. Other than that, we could talk about the, you know, the dumpsters. So, there was dumpsters, I guess, at somebody's house. I don't know who, but somebody associated with the city, I guess. So, that was brought up at a city council meeting. They said, yeah, that program, it has been public since its inception. It's been, you know, around for something like 3.5 years. Yeah, it's always been open to the public. We just haven't kind of told anybody about it. And now all of a sudden that it's open to the public, and they told everybody it's open to the public, and now everybody knows about it, I guess it's not open to the public right now because they have to do a whole bunch of reorganizing it. I don't know about reorganizing, but changing of, like, you know, actually setting something in stone and changing the prices, and it doesn't look good. So, I mean, at best, it doesn't look good. So I don't really know what you do with that. You know, is that corrupt? I don't really know. I would hope that they know what they're doing as far as not breaking the law goes. But, you know, sometimes you're wondering I was gonna say in Ohio, but you know it's even farther than that now. We talked about the first energy scandal with DeWine earlier. There's no doubt in my mind that DeWine knew. I generally speaking liked DeWine as governor. He was very he was willing to work across the aisle to get what he got, to get what he could get done. Pragmatism is a good way to get stuff done in politics. I mean, he didn't push for anything crazy, and he just got what he thought he could get, and that's why he got so much done. So there's that. But I don't know. I would hope that, I don't know. I'm doing a lot of hoping recently, I suppose. It would be nice. I'll change it up. It would be nice if DeWine didn't know, and that his it was really just his people all along, and, you know, all that good stuff. But, you know, unfortunately, I don't think that's the case. We also have the flock cameras going on. The flock cameras are, $10,000 a year, I do believe. I heard that we have, that we got an $8,000 grant to help fund the flock cameras. But, like I said, $10,000, so we still got $2,000 to pay, and both the city and the county are broke, and I guess both of them were saying that neither of them are gonna pay it. I would think somebody's gonna pay it, and, I mean, you know, I don't think they're gonna get away with the do away with the flock cameras. No, I'm not a fan of the flock cameras. I mean, you know, we've had the conversation before on prior shows. But, there is that. So, I don't know. I know I say I don't know a lot, but, sometimes I just really don't know what to think about things. I mean, we have so many flock cameras. And, like, you know, I mean, I don't know, maybe it's dumb, but earlier we were talking about how you can't have it both ways. If I were to buy a camera that read license plates, and I wanted to put it up in town to just track everybody whose license plate was hit, I don't think they'd be fond of that. I think I'm looking at, I mean, that's probably a crime of some kind. But when the government does it via flock, or just, you know, other, like, actually owned by, I don't know if we have any cameras actually owned by the city just out and about, but Some people do. And, you know, if I can't do that, then I don't know why you can. What if I just turned around and I was like, yeah, I'm just going to give all this information to the police? I don't know. I mean, like, it's kind of like, I guess, the Patriot Act. I mean, I know we talked about the Patriot Act a lot, too. But, like, I don't know. Even if they aren't using it for something nefarious, which, you know, I mean, I do plan on at some point doing a whole show and pulling the statistics on the Patriot Act, because they're kind of, you know, wild. I mean, there were something like 20,000 cases that used, like, sneak and peek warrants, which are just, like, warrantless searches, where you don't have to be, I mean, sneak and peek, they just go, kind of go into your house and, you know, look around and stuff. You don't have to be, informed. Something like 20,000 of those in a fiscal year 2020, and, I think something like 500 of them were for terrorist-related charges. So if the Patriot Act is really just for terrorism, you know, why are there 20,000 and only 500 of them were you know, for what the point of the act was, I suppose. Like I said, I do plan on coming back at some point with, you know, better numbers and the actual numbers. But I just haven't gotten around to that yet. But you know, I think it's just like, like, if I were to, like, if we lived in, like, an apartment, and I, like, drilled a hole in your wall, and I just, like, stared and watched you do, like, everything you do all day, every day, you know, like, I never say anything to you, I never tell anybody about anything that you do, or anything like that. It's just all in my head forever. Did I do something wrong? It really feels like I did something wrong, you know what I mean? Like, it's the same thing, I think. In my opinion. I mean, they're just, you know, we're not gonna use it against you, we're just gonna, you know, have it here forever. And, you know, it just seems like the same kind of thing. I shouldn't be collecting that information on people. I think that people should have, especially now that technology is around. I mean, the amount of information that they get from technology is crazy. I mean, I don't know. AI itself is crazy. I mean, we talked about AI not long ago. I mean, hundreds of thousands of jobs lost to AI from, like, I mean, a whole bunch of big tech companies, Microsoft, Oracle. I mean, I think Pinterest was on the list. Pinterest had a bunch of people laid off. Like, I don't know. AI is just not great, in my opinion. I think it's going to do more harm than it's going to do good. Same thing with social media. I think social media has done more harm than good. It would be pretty cool if we could follow suit, and I don't remember who the country was. Maybe it's the UK. I don't recall. Maybe it was France. Anyways, Australia was the first country to put a ban on social media for people 16 and under. And I would be happy with following suit with that. You know, I think that the amount of like depression rates linked to social media use, I guess, and anxiety and things like that. You know, the correlation's there. I mean, I know correlation isn't causation, as they say, but there's certainly a correlation there, and it would just, I think, be beneficial to do that. There were a lot of things that it would be pretty cool if we, like, I don't know. Like, the wine said that his biggest regret was sports gambling. And I, you know, I think that it probably should be sports gambling. The rapid expansion of sports gambling is crazy. Like, it was legal in some states. I don't know where. I live in Ohio, and I was never interested in sports betting. And then it became legal in Ohio, and now all of a sudden it's everywhere. You watch a football game, there's gambling ads. You watch a hockey game, gambling ads. You watch it in any kind of sporting event, gambling ads. Sometimes you just see slot, like DraftKings ads, like FanDuel. Like, I could go, like, Bally Sports. Like, there's just so many. like, I don't really know what you do. I mean, you done legalized it now. I mean, I don't know that you can go back and unlegalize something. I mean, I suppose you could, but I don't think it would happen at this point. I mean, I bet you that lobby would go crazy. I'm sure they have a powerful lobby now. I mean, look at the expansion of it since it's happened. I don't know where the first state that it became legal was. Probably Nevada or something. Nevada's pretty libertarian about that kind of stuff. But it hasn't been that long since it was legalized originally. And it's in, you know, a good portion of the states. It's not great. Oh, and I just got a message that there's betting ads at concerts. Yes, that's right. I mean, you go to a concert, and there's there's just ads for the online casinos everywhere. It's even beyond the sports betting now. There's just online casinos. It's no good. I mean, I don't know how else to put it. I mean, it's certainly not good. I don't know what DeWine thought was going to happen. I know at one point he said that he didn't, because I know at one point after the, I think it was after the Indians had two pitchers get in trouble for rigging, like, because you can bet on, like, single throws in baseball, like, single pitches, and apparently they were rigging single pitches, like, you know, the bettor would be like, hey, you know, you're going to throw a ball or something, and he'd be like, all right, I'm going to throw a ball, and, and after that, they basically mentioned, you know, I didn't think it was going to be such an effect on the game of sport. That was the whole point in not letting sports gambling to begin with. I mean, there was thoughts that, you know, you could rig games for money. I mean, prediction markets now are crazy. I mean, there was a Green Beret. I don't know, one of the special forces that was deployed to Venezuela. There was a special forces troop who was arrested for. I don't remember exactly what he was arrested for, at least what the charge was called. But before they invaded Venezuela, he placed like a multi-$1,000 bet that they were going to invade Venezuela, and then they did, and he cashed out. And he got in loads of trouble. We're going to call here. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, now if they don't make it illegal, it'd be nice to make it to where they can't advertise in TV and different medias, just like cigarettes. You haven't been able to advertise cigarettes on television or radio or, you know, for a long, long time.
Why are they still allowed to advertise alcohol?
I don't know.
I mean, alcohol.
That should be another thing. It should be, you know, on TV and radio, maybe paper. Papers ain't nothing anymore, but that'd be another thing, you know, that would help.
Well, because I'm pretty sure that alcohol has been linked to pretty much all the same stuff as cigarettes, like, you know, cancer and whatnot. I'm pretty sure that alcohol has been linked to cancer and, like, dementia.
Well, and, you know, destroying your liver.
Yeah, I mean, like, alcohol is certainly no good for you. I mean, I mean, it's addicting, just like nicotine, just like gambling.
You know, an alcoholic, they get red. When an alcoholic, you know, for years been, you know, alcoholics, their skin gets red. You get that red tint to you. You ever notice that from, you know, alcoholics?
No, I have not.
Well, you probably haven't been around many either, but...
Well, you know, that's good. Hopefully there's not many to be around.
I heard that somewhere, and then when I was... used to hang around there at Dino's and stuff, you know, especially when you go outside on the, you know, fenced-in area where you can smoke and stuff, and I'd look at the people out there, and they all had I had an alcoholic, ex-alcoholic work for me, and even though he hadn't drank for years, he still had that red tint to him, especially look at their arms.
Maybe it's got something to do with, like, liver damage or something?
Yeah, it can cause liver damage. easy. But then there's alcoholics that never get liver damage, but, I don't know. You know, cigarettes are bad for me, and I still smoke, so I can't say a whole lot, but I do agree that cigarettes, you know, shouldn't be advertised on TV and stuff and marketed to children. That's what happens, you know, when you advertise on TV, especially when you come up with those Joe the Camel and all those things, you know.
Oh, yeah, the Marlboro Man?
Yeah. You know, that has more effect on, you know, children and young people than 60-year-old that's almost ready to die and still smoking, but I don't know. I don't have no reason to quit smoking. Ain't nothing exciting in my life.
Hey, I wanted to, I'm pretty sure you've already commented on it, but we haven't gotten a chance to talk about it on this show. What do you think about DeWine saying that that he no longer supports the death penalty after being the one to help write the bill and co-sponsoring it, and I do believe it was 81?
I don't know. I don't want to see the death penalty go.
So you're a fan of the death penalty?
I'd like to see where they can't prolong it 30 years before they do kill somebody.
You want to expedite
the death penalty? I know there's innocent people that sometimes get killed, but like I was talking to Scott, there's no program you ever have that's not got some disadvantage to it.
So you disagree with the logic of it's better to have 100, the quote just comes from the Salem witch trial. It's better to have 100 witches walk free than one innocent person burned at the stake or whatever?
Yeah. I mean, I think criminals should be aware that they could get that death penalty. It's not going to phase some people, but some people might phase. I mean, if you don't want to take it up your ass, I mean, don't go to prison. You know, we ought to advertise that, you know? There's a lot of stuff like that that goes on in prisons, the same way in a women's prison. That's enough to deter me.
Random question here. Who's your favorite president? Not during your lifetime or anything, just in general, favorite president.
I think in general Lincoln, but my lifetime Obama. It'd be a toss-up between Obama and Clinton. I think they was both good people. And I don't know. The Obamas are loved by the American people. There's some that wouldn't be, but, you know, I think they're more loved by the American people than what the Clintons. But then Obama's more up to date than what the Clintons was, too. But
I mean, I don't know. I mean, I never lived during the Clinton. I mean, like, I could pick my favorite president during my lifetime, but, I mean, it's slim pickings. I mean, I got George Bush, I got Barack Obama, I got Donald Trump, and I got Joe Biden. I don't like Bush. I don't remember Bush either. I mean, I remember the first president I remember is Barack Obama, and he's probably the best one out of the bunch that I can recall in my lifetime at least. But overall, I think my favorite president's probably Teddy Roosevelt. He broke up the trusts and the monopolies and.
Yep.
Yeah. I like Teddy Roosevelt. He's pretty cool.
Yep. The Roosevelt family, I mean, they've had a big influence on this country. And the Roosevelt family has been, for the average person, more than the big millionaires and billionaires.
So you like FDR?
There wasn't no billionaires back in Teddy Roosevelt's day, but...
Oh, well...
They was millionaires, but I don't think there was ever a billionaire. Now,
you might
if
be
you
right
convert their money to the value of money today, yeah, they'd be considered billionaires, but I don't think back in that day they had.
No, back in that day there were. Rockefeller was the first billionaire, yes.
Really?
Yes, Rockefeller was a billionaire. But that's a stupid, $1 billion back in the 1915 or whenever was a stupid amount of money.
What would that translate today, I wonder?
We can look it up real fast. I mean, I got, you know, 2 minutes. It's a lot of money.
Musk, he's worth 300 and some billion or more.
$1 billion in 1916, I must have fat-fingered it, but $1 billion in 1916 is worth about $30.5 billion today. So he was up there. He was no Elon Musk, but he was up there.
Yeah, but I don't think there was anybody bigger than him back in that day.
Well, no.
Maybe in foreign countries, but I don't think over here.
I mean, as far as, like, actual, like, money on hand, I mean, I think that, Carnegie probably was richer at one point just because he sold U.S. Steel. But then, you know, after he sold U.S. Steel to J.P. Morgan, they forced him to sell a whole bunch of, like, break up into a whole bunch of, because that's when they, you know, broke up the monopoly. So Carnegie, he got out right in time. He won that.
And he did a lot of good.
Yes, and Carnegie was a good guy.
For however you pronounce that, philanthropy or something like that.
Yeah, philanthropy.
He left a lot of his money. I don't think his kids got a whole bunch.
Yeah,
his family, left a lot of it to do good.
He spent most of his money on I don't know how much he spent, but I know he did spend a lot of money on philanthropy. But just to play devil's advocate for a second, I can't remember the guy's name, but Carnegie himself was a fairly good guy, and he didn't like to be a bad guy, but he was a businessman, so he hired somebody to manage his businesses, and the guy he hired was brutal, and he hired the Pinkertons at one point to like, shut down a strike, and the Pinkertons ended up just murdering a whole bunch of strikers.
Yeah, and, you know, he pushed his workers to death, too.
Yeah.
I mean, it was dangerous work, especially back in that days.
Steel mill, yeah.
He's worried more about that.
It wasn't uncommon for people to fall into vats of boiling iron.
Yep. Oh, God, that'd be a way to die. I mean, oh, God.
Yeah, that'd be rough. That'd be rough.
Wonder how long you'd feel that before you did.
Hopefully not long. That's not a feeling I'd wanna savor.
No, you do it and you let me know.
I'll be sure to get on that.
Say what?
I said, I'll be sure to get on that.
Yeah.
Well, alrighty. We got to
wrap
up the show.
Tonight.
I appreciate it. Thanks for calling.
Okay, later.
Later. Alrighty. Well, with that being said, it is 11 o'clock, so I appreciate everybody for listening. You can listen 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at www.wwgh1071.com. At the bottom of the page is a Listen Live button, or you can listen at you can listen at TuneIn, the TuneIn app. It's a free app. I don't even think you have to make an account. You can search WGH Talk. We will be there, labeled, you know, WGH Talk, Marion, Ohio. And, yes, I've appreciated the show. I hope you all appreciated the show as well. I thank you all for listening, and good night.
Fascinating, or our world would be